Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all. Please be seated. This is the final Sunday of the Easter season, and it's also the end of a series of epistle lessons that come from the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse of John. Today's epistle is the last chapter of Revelation, and therefore the very last chapter of the Bible, God's last word to the church. To be sure, some of what's in the book of Revelation pertains to the future, such as the second coming of Christ. But much of the book talked about what was taking place then, when it was written, as well as what's going to happen throughout the ages and what happens to us even today. Revelation was written to comfort Christians suffering persecutions at the hands of both their own countrymen and by pagan Rome. Now, Christians today also suffer attacks from the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature, which Revelation also discusses too. Now, just a couple of points to make about Revelation before we wait three more years for these epistles to come up. Nero's ancient persecution of the church is what's behind Revelation chapter 13's number 666, the mark of the beast. Now, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, there are no Arabic numerals in the Bible. In order to get to numbers, you actually had to spell them out in the Greek or Hebrew alphabet. So when you spell out the letters for 666, John said, this takes wisdom. It is the number of a man. Calculate the number of a man from 666. Now, if you do that, use the wisdom and the calculation that John calls for, and convert the Greek letters into Hebrew letters that correspond with 666, you get the word Neron Kaiser, Nero Caesar, the Emperor Nero. 2,000 years ago, the church was warned to beware of boastful Nero. But he's gone now. Today, we have to be aware of anyone presenting false teaching, spiritual lies, because they all come from the devil. And these lies morph into terrible actions that bring pain and suffering in the world. Consider the lies of international communism and the evil and wickedness it brought into the world. Consider national socialism in Germany, the Nazis, and all of the horror that resulted. The so-called glorious revolution in China, the cultural revolution. All of these lies resulted in the mass murder of tens of millions of people. The lies came before the murders. And on this Memorial Day, we remember those who lost their earthly lives in wars that were waged to stop the lies and the advance of evil that came as a result. Now, I'd like to say something else about numbers. 7 in the Bible is the number symbolic of perfection, such as the 7 days of creation in Genesis. But Revelation also has sevens. 7 golden lampstands, 7 seals on the scrolls, 7 angels, 7 churches. 7 is the number of perfection, but 6 falls short of perfection. The devil and his minions, like Nero and all who followed them, they present themselves as sevens, as perfect, but they fall woefully short. Not just 6 woefully short, but 666 times woefully short. The lies are to be treated with that kind of contempt. Not perfect, but falling short of perfection. But there's something else worth noting. If you take the Greek letters for Jesus and convert them to numbers, you get 888. Now, I'm not speculating. This is what the church has taught and known for centuries. 7 means perfection. 6 means you've fallen short. But 8 exceeds perfection. And Jesus is not only an 8. He not only exceeds, but he far exceeds. He's 888. The devil drags behind at 666. Jesus is far ahead of him at 888. What this means is that even at their most powerful, the forces of evil that are aligned against you and your Savior will never, ever succeed. Now that said, we don't use these numbers beyond their symbolic value. Please don't misuse them to create mathematical formulas that say, oh, Jesus is coming at such and such a day, because you take 666 divided by 888 times 7 divided by the square root of whatever, and you'll find out what day he's coming back. Please, do not misuse those symbolic numbers for anything other than what they represent, which is the horrible evil of the devil and the beyond anything you can imagine perfection of Jesus Christ. Through picture language, Revelation simply makes comforting theological points for all of us. The lying devil has nothing on the supreme Lord of all, Jesus Christ our Savior. Now, I went off on a little tangent here, but it's only to show you what today's epistle is saying, because today's epistle talks about a different mark, not the mark of the beast, but the comforting and blessed mark that all believers receive. Those who have been saved from their sins and washed in the blood of the Lamb are marked on their foreheads with the name of Jesus. And that's the mark spoken of in the last chapter of the Bible. It's the mark that pastors use at baptism when they say, receive the sign or mark of the Holy Cross upon your forehead and over your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. That's what our Lutheran baptismal liturgy means when the pastor marks you. It reminds you from the last chapter of the Bible that you are marked and redeemed by Christ the crucified. You can be assured that Jesus overcomes the beast. That's what's emphasized at baptism. In fact, it's also emphasized when you were confirmed. At your confirmation, you are asked, are you willing to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from the Christian faith? Many people were willing to suffer death rather than fall away from the faith. So let's not obsess about the mark of the beast. Let's rejoice in the mark of Jesus that you have received by virtue of your baptism. Christ protects you. His 888 protects you from the devil's 666. Now, there are many teachings in the Bible, all of them important. Creation, the sanctity of life, marriage, the Ten Commandments, second coming of Christ, the resurrection of the dead, and the final judgment. John's apocalypse, which means uncover, doesn't mean that the helicopters are coming with bombs. It means to simply uncover what's already there to give you comfort. John's apocalypse closes with the words, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And the best way for anyone to be prepared for the Lord's second coming is to be fully grounded in the blessings you received from his first coming. God the Son became one of us. He became our brother in the womb of a virgin in order to be the only man who ever lived that was divine and that could perfectly keep God's law. Now, God's law demands perfection, It demands a score of 7. 7 out of 7, you might say. But we fail. Even at our best, we're a 6. We'll never reach that. But thanks be to God, Jesus rendered perfect obedience and credits that obedience to you and I. Jesus gives you 8 out of 7, and you can't get any better than that. And that's not all. After Jesus the Lamb shed his blood and died for your sins, he rose to conquer the curse of sin and death. At the very moment Jesus returns, you are going to be raised from your grave, and your body and soul together will be at the river of life in the New Jerusalem, which is heaven. And all of this happened because of the first coming of Christ. The book of Revelation is written to lift the veil on what's happening now and what's coming for you in the future. It doesn't give it all. You don't get it all. You get enough to be comforted and blessed. But the final chapter of Scripture reminds us that we have received something so special, the mark of Jesus Christ. From the moment of our baptism, his name is on you, and you belong to him. Even when the heat may get turned up on you because of your faith, and in some places it is, you have his promise that your salvation is assured. Even if the devil and all the world causes some churches and some Christians to fall into sin and heresy, and many have, there is the promise that there will always be the true church on earth, and it will exist as it always has, in truth and purity, until the return of Jesus Christ in glory sometime in the future. So this concludes the sermons on the Apocalypse of John for a few more years. I pray that God not only blesses your hearing of the word, but that he'll bless the preaching of it. May you always recall your baptism when you were marked with Jesus Christ and redeemed by him and given saving faith. May everything that God has in store for us be a great blessing to us, so that we can consider the Lamb of God living in and live in the glory of his light forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise for the offertory.